Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
I appreciate the effort. Good morning. Welcome to the Friday edition of the News Roundtable. Today's show is building off of yesterday's show. Yesterday we talked about Governor Pritzker's revitalization plan here in the state of Illinois. Yesterday I printed out the executive summary and went through it. But there is a larger version. There's a 68-page full version. And after the show yesterday, I texted Ted Dabrowski at Wirepoints and asked him, I see a lot of big ideas on here, but I don't see the numbers behind pulling it off, and it seems like a lot of spending. How does it work when the governor's already told the departments to essentially plan for 6.5% cuts? And he sent back a voluminous text. I said, you want to break it down on the show? He said, yes, please. So coming up on the back half of today's show, we'll talk with Ted Dabrowski. And he and John Klinger have teamed up for an opinion piece about the consolidation of the Illinois police and fire pensions. The governor has a task force that has recommended the downstate police and fire pensions be put into one larger fund. And there are positives to that, but there are also negatives to that. So we'll get into that as well. We've got a lot to jam in our visit with Ted coming up on the back half of the show. First things first, in with all the latest from the WTAD newsroom, say good morning to Scott Hardy.
Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. The majority of the WTAD listening area will see freezing conditions early tomorrow morning. National Weather Service in St. Louis has issued a freeze warning for most of the listening area, including Adams County. In addition, Hancock and McDonough counties in Illinois, as well as Marion, Rawls, Lewis, Monroe, Knox, Shelby, Clark, and Scotland counties in Missouri are in that warning, as is all of southeast Iowa. The warning for the Quincy-Hannibal area goes into effect at 3 a.m. tomorrow, as temperatures will fall to the lower 30s and as low as 30 degrees. There's a potential for some spots in Iowa to fall into the upper 20s. The Weather Service says that freeze conditions could kill crops and sensitive vegetation and possibly damage unprotected outdoor plumbing. They say you should take steps now to protect tender plants from the cold as well as outdoor pipes and sprinkler systems. City of Hannibal has installed two of its floodgates this morning as the Mississippi River continues to rise. Those gates went in at Center and Hall Streets. According to Emergency Management Director John Hark, gates went in as of around 8 a.m. this morning. Hark says he's taking that step because the Mississippi is expected to rise over 21 feet at Hannibal by Wednesday. Hark also says the installation of the floodgate should be considered a precaution due to the forecast, which has called for heavy rains through mid-afternoon today. At Quincy, the river is expected to rise to 20.4 feet by Tuesday night. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Quincy continued his tour of western Illinois Thursday with a stop in Quincy, saying he wants to help in the restoration of Quincy Bay. Springfield Democrat met with local officials and members of the Quincy Bay Area Restoration and Enhancement Association at Lincoln Park about the need to restore the bay. A statement from Durbin's office says that last month he included language in the Senate's fiscal year 2020 Energy and Water Appropriations Bill. That language directs the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to continue working with Quincy to make the restoration of the bay a priority. Durbin said that with proper funding through the Corps, Quincy Bay would be dredged to a feet of depth, rather, of 10 feet, and a rock dam would be built to prevent further erosion from river traffic. In March, Durbin says he met with the Rock Island Army Corps commander to press for more funding for the bay and as a part of the Upper Mississippi River Restoration Program. In February, Durbin joined U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth and U.S. Representative Darren LaHood in sending a letter to the Corps requesting $20 million for the bay. Tri-Township fire officials say that an equipment shed at a location in the 2200 block of South 12th Street is a total loss after a fire Thursday afternoon. Fire officials say the cause of the blaze will likely remain undetermined due to the extent of the damage. No one was inside when the fire started, but a large amount of lawn equipment inside the shed is a loss. That fire broke out around 3 p.m. Thursday at that equipment shed, which was being rented out by Emmerich Outdoor Maintenance as well. At one point, officials blocked off Cherry Lane and South 12th Street and Melview Road in the area. Black smoke was seen coming from the structure, which was fully engulfed when firefighters arrived. They had that blaze out after about 45 minutes. A Bowling Green teenager was injured after a one-vehicle accident on U.S. 36 just outside of Shelbina early Thursday morning. According to the Missouri State Highway Patrol, 19-year-old Dylan Burbridge of Bowling Green fell asleep at the wheel. That accident happened around 12:15 a.m. Thursday, just west of the Shelbina city limits. The patrol says in a report that he fell asleep. His vehicle then went off Highway 36 and hit and crashed into a culvert. Burbridge was taken by ambulance to Hannibal Regional Hospital with minor injuries. Payson woman was hurt Wednesday in a two-vehicle accident in Quincy. Quincy police identify her as 63-year-old Verna Jones, say that accident happened around 3:45 a.m. on South 36th Street. Report says Jones ran into the back of a vehicle driven by 60-year-old Marybeth Noel of Fowler. Noel was waiting to turn off 36th Street onto Eastlake Center Drive. Jones was taken by ambulance to Blessing Hospital for treatment. Noel was unhurt. Jones was cited for failing to slow down to prevent an accident. And the Pike County, Illinois Highway Department says that more railroad crossings between Barry and Bayless are now closed until next week. The department said Thursday that the Norfolk Southern Railroad has closed the crossings, all located in Hadley Township. Those crossings are at 312th Street, 300th Street, 290th Street, 280th Street, 275th Street. The railroad has been working on repairing crossings in that section of Pike County since late last month. That has included replacing the rails in some of those crossings. That is a look at the latest in local news. Of course, we'll have much more for you throughout the afternoon right here on WTAD.com and on our social media pages, including Twitter and Facebook. And as I was coming into work this morning, there was one particular song that kept running through my mind. And that was November Rain by Guns N' Roses. Ah. It just felt like it. It really did.
Long slash guitar out. You talked about a rock dam to keep the silt from coming back. Where would...
That I'm not sure, but I would imagine... I don't know if it would be... whether it would be on the Quincy Island side or if it would be on the actual bank. I mean, yeah. They know where the silt's coming from.
Sure.
It's just, you know.
I'm just fascinated.
I am too.
The whole project.
I am too.
Weird like that. All right. Thank you very much, sir. Mm-hmm. It's 10:15. We'll take a break. And when we come back, Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints joins us on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Welcome back to the News Roundtable. I guess we're playing again today, Steve?
Yes, please. Real quick.
All right. You know how to do it, kids.
Darryl
Hall is having a birthday today. So the game is, we start at 70. Is it over or under? I'll say under.
Me too.
Oh, you're both wrong.
Really?
I thought you'd get this one. Our close. 73.
Wow.
I would have never guessed.
I would have guessed somewhere like 67.
Yeah.
Good on Daryl.
I never thought a guy that would have an online web series in his own basement with other musicians would be 73, to be perfectly honest with you.
That's true. Good on Daryl. All right. Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We are joined by a regular guest, Ted Dabrowski, who is at his assigned seat. Yesterday, just to refresh you, after the show, I texted Ted about Governor Pritzker's plan to revitalize the state's economy And I said, I looked at the plan, and I see a lot of big ideas. What I don't see is a whole lot of how to pay for this, especially when he's told the departments to plan for 6.5% cuts. How's that going to work? And that was the right button to press on Ted, because he sent back a voluminous text, and I said, you want to break it down on the show? He said, yes. So we're having him on the show, and we'll also talk about his piece with John Klingner, about the consolidation of the police and fire pension funds. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So I felt bad at first because yesterday I just printed out the executive summary of the governor's piece, and then I realized, oh, wait a minute, there's a much larger piece. Maybe there's all kinds of numbers if I print out the 68-page piece, and when I started riffling through it, No, there's not a whole lot of numbers, and it's kind of very repetitive. I will give it to the governor. He is thinking big, but I think he's thinking big spending. Is that what you got out of this?
Yeah, you know, look, the governor's got to put out something like this. Every governor across the country has to put out a plan of how you're going to grow the economy, invest in people, invest in infrastructure and all that. And, you know, it's an expected document. And, you know, it says, quote, all the right things, right? We're gonna attract technology. We're gonna make our workforce stronger. We're gonna have a 21st century workforce, enhance innovation. Those are all the right things to say. And, of course, when you open it up and you see this long list of we're gonna spend here and spend there, you're absolutely right. There's not a single big dollar amount, so we don't really know how much it costs and, you know, could he ever get it passed? But I think, The real problem with this whole thing is it puts the cart before the horse. The foundation of this state is broken, right? It's ready to collapse. And, you know, you can talk about doing all kinds of things to build a workforce and a strong economy, but if that foundation is about to crumble, you know, it's a house of cards. And really he needs to be focused on other things. I shouldn't say focus. He needs to prioritize getting the finances right before he focuses on all this. And we've yet to really understand what he's going to do to fix the state.
Right. We've said for years the elephant in the room is pensions, and in many cases, even when you put task force together in Springfield, that's one area where you're not allowed to talk about it. And I don't know how you get from point A in this state or further down as we are, what is it, BBB plus, to getting things fixed if you can't talk about the pensions, because that's ultimately a big part or the largest part of how we got there. Now, your piece today with John Klingner, concerning the governor's task force on consolidating the police and fire pensions, it's kind of interesting because you start out with this is a good idea and probably something that should be done right now, but I found it fascinating where you went from there. So first of all, explain why this is probably a good idea to start out with.
Well, first, you know, you might want to think of this like if you have a loan that you're paying whatever, you know, 10% on, well, if you can move it over to a different borrowing at 8% and you save 2%, you would always try to borrow cheaper. Or if you could invest a little bit higher, you always want to move your money to where you can invest a little higher. But and you should always do that, right? If you can either save a little bit more or make a little bit more, it makes sense. But that doesn't solve a problem. And so right now, the state's 650 individual pension funds for police and fire, they're all individual. They're all, many of them are very small. They invest in the markets, but they're very limited in what they can invest because they're small. So the idea was, is, you know, bring all that money together in a consolidated investment fund. Don't, you know, the plan isn't to consolidate the actual pension funds, but just to consolidate their investments so that a larger fund has more power to make better investments and lower fees. And so, sure, that makes sense, right? If you can make 1 or 2% more in your investments, you should do it. But, you know, Governor Pritzker is saying that this is one of the potentially one of the most monumental things done in this state. And we're like, whoa, 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 don't go that far, right? You didn't actually fix pensions. You actually didn't get rid of all these 650 pension funds and all their boards and all their bloat and all their bureaucracy and corruption. You know, all you're doing is making a smaller investment decision, a smarter investment decision. But you know, don't celebrate this because this does nothing to solve the state's problems.
Yeah, you brought numbers into it as well, and like you said, it makes smart investment. It's a smart investment decision. But when we're talking about the amount of money and percentage amount of money, share with everybody how small that actually is.
Well, the pension funds themselves, if you take the downstate police and fire funds that we're celebrating here, they make up just 4.5% of all the pension debt, you know, all that big pension shortfall we have in Illinois. They make up just 4.5% of the 70 billion in debts that we have officially. So, you know, again, it's a good thing to do, but it's peanuts when you're talking about the problem we have in Illinois.
And I noticed that you mentioned that in doing this, they're creating two new pension boards, but they're not eliminating any of the pension boards on the local level. Those will still work independently. So they're actually growing government
right.
to a degree.
Exactly. We're growing government. We're making it more complex. It's interesting. They didn't do one pension fund for the investments. They still did two, separating police and fire. So even then, they had a chance to consolidate even more. But I think the big deal is that, you know, you still have this bloat and bureaucracy in every single city going forward, despite this, quote, consolidation, because it's really not a consolidation. It's just a slight improvement in investments.
One of the things that I found interesting, and it's very much like this state, you say that the report's investment estimates are overly optimistic. Surprise. And at what point in time are we going to learn to, I guess, under-promise and over-deliver instead of the opposite?
So I don't think we'll learn that. I think we'll just keep finding that our hole gets bigger and bigger, and that we won't be allowed to celebrate things like consolidation. We'll actually be forced, by the markets, by people fleeing, that we'll have to change the system. But for now, we're still gonna. It's something you have to do. But my concern is in doing it and celebrating it, what Governor Pritzker and others are going to try to do is make the public feel like something's being done. And that's not true. And the public shouldn't get any kind of warm, fuzzy feeling about this thing. They should actually be worried that it's going to deflate pressure for the real reforms, because they're going to act, the unions are going to act like they just gave up something. The politicians are going to act like they just did something. And therefore, the real pressure to act will be gone. And that's a big risk anytime these politicians act like they did something.
Yeah, the interesting part about, and I actually laughed out loud when I was reading this morning, and some of the staff members came in and said, "What's so funny?" And I said, "Ted, but I'll talk to him on the show," is that you pointed out that the unions are probably, when extra money comes in from this, because you're going to get more from the investments, when extra money comes in, they're going to be first in line and say, "We need that. You're going to need to pay us more," which it's already been spent.
Well, that's precisely the problem we have in Illinois, and that's why I didn't want to celebrate this thing. You have to do a consolidation for investments to earn more interest. I mean, you can't say no to that. But at the same time, if you've lived in Illinois for any number of years, when there's suddenly a free, quote, free amount of new cash, the unions are going to be there to grab it. I mean, they say that they've given up benefits for some years or something like that, and they'll come after the money because it's there. And even if it's not there, they still want it, right? I think in Chicago, what's going on with the teachers union, Lori Lightfoot is still offering these massive raises and massive benefit increases, despite the fact that there's no money in Chicago. So they'll do it anyway. So I think we're naive to think that just because we earn a little bit more interest, that it's going to go to the taxpayers. It's likely to go straight to the union coffers.
And interestingly, you point out the CTU and their impending strike. I saw earlier this week you have other school districts now looking to do the same thing. So there are other school districts around the state watching the CTU and actually taking cues from them, even though, again, financially, we're in no position to do any of the things that they're demanding. I find it interesting. We got 1 minute left, Ted. You kind of leave a cliffhanger at the end of this piece this morning about consolidation, and that is potentially a state takeover of downstate pensions. You're visualizing out into the future. As quickly as you can, explain the danger there.
Well, right now, all they're doing is consolidating investments. But by doing this consolidation, the next step could be, well, now that they're all kind of together in some way, Governor Pritzker and others may say, well, let's just take over, let's just do a state takeover of all that debt, take it out of the hands of the cities, and put it at the state level. And what that would amount to is basically a bailout. And, you know, when you think about it, the taxes then that would be paid to the state, cities that have well-run pensions will be bailing out places like East St. Louis and Harvey and others who have failed pensions. And that, again, is just not fair.
All right. We encourage you to check out Ted's piece with John Klinger at wirepoints.org. We'll put a link up at the News Roundtable Facebook page. Ted, as always, thank you for being on the show with us.
Thank you, Quaid. I appreciate it.
That is the Friday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be back in Monday morning at 10 a.m. You should be here, too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene Monday morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.